This is Andro Mamo. Thank you for listening and watching another episode of One on One. Today, I am so excited as I am joined by, you may know her as Victoria La Mala, but I would love to tell the story of Victoria Ortiz.
That's right.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you for your time.
I'm excited to be here.
It really means the world. And I think leading up to this conversation, I've just done a lot of research. And I think the story and the journey that's led you here is one that is incredibly inspiring. And I think that story needs to be told.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's talk about Victoria. Who is Victoria La Mala?
Who is Victoria La Mala? I think Victoria La Mala is a badass.
Yep.
She's someone that's very resilient, mm-hmm. very, very strong-minded. And I would say that she's used the good and the bad mm-hmm. to be able to build herself, learn, become a better person, a better artist, friend, mom, wife. Yeah.
So many different titles. Yeah. And I think it's incredible seeing everything that you've built thus far in your career.
Thank you.
It's incredible. So let's break it down. What was the early life of Victoria La Mala like?
I would say it was an amazing childhood. I would say, you know, with my parents and my siblings growing up in Mexico City, I had an amazing childhood. I could even say, oh my God, it was like the perfect childhood. We would come out here to LA mm-hmm. on like my summer breaks and Christmas breaks because my mom's family has been in LA since before I was born. My mom was actually the one that went back to Mexico.
Wow.
So we come and visit my abuelitos and tías and tíos. So I feel like the LA culture is also a big part of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was born and raised in Mexico City. And yeah, I would say it was just a beautiful childhood. Then as a teenager, I already knew I wanted to, you know, be a performer, mm-hmm. Sing, create.
Yeah.
And after high school is when I decided, mm-hmm. okay, let's just start this journey and go where we need to go to do it and make it happen.
I love that. So growing up in Mexico City, how would you say that those early years of your life shaped the sound that you perform today?
I would say it's a big, big part of that sound because when I moved to New York City to start, you know, this journey in music, I actually thought that I wanted to do more of like an R&B mm-hmm. soul type music,
yeah.
which is what as a teenager I grew up listening to in my room. You know, I loved listening to Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Lauryn Hill, Aaliyah, mm-hmm. all those like 90s,
yeah.
early 2000s R&B groups. But once I got to New York, I don't know how life and God work, but something switched in me where I just was like, no, you know what? I wanna represent where I come from and I wanna show everyone how amazing, you know, my culture is. So that's mm-hmm. when in New York is when I realized, okay, this is what I wanna do, Mexican music.
I mean, you mentioned that you moved from Mexico City to New York. Two completely different cities. At the beginning, when you were first thinking about moving, was that something that was like easy for you or were you kind of nervous going into that?
I think I was nervous, especially because I'd never even been to New York City ever. But I think I was more just excited and hungry to just, you know, oh my God, go and follow my dreams. And you know, I was so young and just full of excitement and passion that I think that was bigger than me being fearful. I think that now that I'm older, I would be like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I could do it. But back then I was just so excited. And you know what's crazy is that at the end, Mexico City and New York City were not as different as one would think.
Okay.
You know, that big whole like big city vibe, craziness, loud, cars, people. It somehow felt familiar.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How old were you when you first moved to New York?
I was probably around 19, maybe a little.
19?
Yeah, I was straight out of high school, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if I may ask you, why New York?
Because I thought, okay, if I want to do this music, R&B, soulful,
that's like the hub.
That's where it comes from. So I wanted to go and do it the right way.
Wow.
And God had his own plans for
God
me.
God is great.
And once I got to New York, you know, I was kind of like a switch, just flipped. And it's crazy because at the time, the Mexican scene in New York was like very, very small. I would almost dare to say non-existent. You know, this yeah. isn't like the early 2000s. This wasn't like the way it is now where
wow.
you see even the Mexican parade is just so big out there now. The mm-hmm. scene, you know, artists, concerts. Back then it was very, very small.
Yeah. And I mean, we are speaking about this genre of regional Mexican music. Even to this day in 2024, it's still such a very male-dominated industry and yeah. a genre. So early on, just imagine like it must have been 10 times more male dominated. So for you to leave Mexico, to go to New York, to pursue this, what kept you fighting?
I guess just naturally I'm a fighter. That's just, mm-hmm. I've always been the kind of person, I guess I'm a little bit stubborn
mm-hmm.
and I'm always like, no, I'm gonna do it. I don't know. There was a lot of times that my mom was like, well, you can always come home. I was like, no, I'm not going mm-hmm. home. I wanna yeah. do this. And I do think God has your purposes and certain journeys are done, or every journey, let's just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the way where it's just going to shape you the best and, you know, shape your character mm-hmm. and help your story inspire other people
yeah.
and see like, oh, wow, well, this wasn't easy for that person, but they did it, so mm-hmm. I can do it too, you know?
Was moving to New York for you kind of like a sink or a swim thing?
Yeah, it was. I was kind of like, oh my God, I got to do this. Or if not, I'm going to have to go back to Mexico City. And don't get me wrong, I love Mexico City. I love where I come from. But I was just ready to just do more and mm-hmm. you know, go on a different journey, that I felt that if I was back home or comfortable with everything I knew,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just wanted to go and like see the world and
yeah.
do my own thing and mm-hmm. shape my path.
Yeah. As a kid, were you always kind of like encouraged to pursue your dreams?
Yes, you know, that is something that I'm very grateful. I thought everyone was encouraged. As I've gotten older, I'm like, well, no, there's a lot of parents that tell their kids, like, no, you can do this. You gotta mm-hmm. have this A, B, or C plan or do this. No, my mom was always very encouraging. I guess because my mom's an artist too. Mm-hmm. She just had that like free spirit to just, hey, whatever you want to do, you're going to be good at it, so it's going to make you happy. So mm-hmm. just pursue it and just try like your best.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel that's like a big part of what encouraged me to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it would have played out if I didn't have that from my mom. But even though I've always been a little bit of a rebel. So mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I mean, it's so important to be, especially in this industry. But I wanted to mention about you coming to LA from Mexico City every summer for Christmas vacations. And obviously you would come here and then you would go back to Mexico with records and
yes.
you would take them back.
Yeah, and my CDs.
And you would fully immerse yourself in the sounds of Los Angeles
yes.
and Mexico. First, who were some of those artists that you were listening to early on? And then the second part of that question is, do you still see a lot of those artist sounds being used in what you're producing these days?
For sure. I mean, I would say some of those artists were like Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Lauryn Hill, who I just saw in concert and I like died.
So good.
Aaliyah, all these like R&B, like divas, Christina Aguilera, of mm-hmm. course. I don't know. I think all of them shape me in the artist that I am. I feel like, you know, I used to sit in my room and try to like imitate their tones and try to imitate runs that they would do. So for sure, they were like my teachers, you mm-hmm. know. To this day, you can see the influence of them in everything I do because it's just part of who mm-hmm. I am, right?
Yeah. And I think another thing to mention about your influences, two people that you are heavily influenced on are Selena.
Of course, yes.
And Tupac.
Yes.
And I wanted to kind of like first ask you about both of them individually. Tupac, why were you so drawn to Tupac?
Because my aunts out here in LA, you know, they were like young and that was like, they were super into hip hop, like 90s and early 2000s mm-hmm. hip hop. So out here in the West Coast, I mean, at the time there was like that East Coast, yeah. West Coast, but they were like super into Tupac. So all that West Coast, like hip hop. And I used to think it was so cool, like rap, mm-hmm. you know, like.
Yeah.
Like, they would drive us around when we were here. We'd go to the mall or whatever. They would always be like just bumping like hip hop. Wow. And I just to be like, yeah, they're so cool. I wanted to be like, I just wow. thought they were so cool, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to be like them. So And I think that Tupac also just has amazing music, amazing lyrics, very charismatic. Just everything about him was just, I don't know, I was just drawn to. Mm-hmm. And then Selena, of course, I mean, she's like the queen.
Yeah.
You know, she was Mexican-American, but she was huge in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm from Mexico City, so cumbias have always been big there. So, and I just thought she was beautiful. Her outfits were just so different for what everyone else was wearing. When we would watch, like, they had this TV show. I'm sure a lot of people that watch your stuff are really young and have never seen this. But they used to have this TV show called Siempre en Domingo, mm-hmm. where for hours they would just have artists performing live every mm-hmm. Sunday. And so she would come on Siempre en Domingo and do her performances with outfits that I would be like,
wow.
Oh my gosh, she's so, like, she's amazing. She's everything. Wow. So, yeah, they, and I also feel like those two kind of represent those two sides of me, mm-hmm. you know, the more Mexican, traditional side, and then the more like urban, hip hop, soul, R&B.
Yeah. You know, the cool thing about you is, I noticed this very early on, is that you're experimenting with different sounds. And I think that is so cool.
Thank you.
But I also want to mention that you as a kid watching Selena, right, on that stage, mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, were you able to see yourself in her on that stage?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that the fact that she was different than a lot of other Mexican artists mm-hmm. who were more like, I don't want to use the word, but yeah, I guess like proper at the time mm-hmm. and traditional. She was just like this fresh, new, mm-hmm. beautiful, talented woman. So she was just like pretty like amazing.
Ahead of her time.
I mean, if she came out today the way that she was 30 years ago, she would be killing it and killing everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I saw myself in her, and I probably also saw what I aspire to mm-hmm. be as a little girl.
And mentioning that, so you saw yourself represented through Selena mm-hmm. on that screen as a kid, but I kind of wanted to turn that around on you and tell you that there are probably a lot of young women that watch you on that stage, and the same feeling that you got from Selena, they're probably getting from you.
That's amazing.
So I wanted to know, why is representation so important, especially in this era, in 2024?
You know, I think that's something that's so important, because I feel like as Mexican women, especially in the regional Mexican space, I mean, when I started a little bit over 10 years ago, Jenny Rivera was like the one and only. I mean, mm-hmm. she's another queen and legend. But at the time, for all these girls like me that were young and like newcomers, mm-hmm. people would be like, well, no, there's just space for one. And that's already Jenny, and there's like no space for you. And if there is space for somebody else out of all of you guys, you're gonna have to like hate each other and kill each other to see who's gonna be the one. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's just horrible, because I feel like it put a lot of the girls, it was maybe like Chiquis, Helen, me, it was kind of like, instead of what the culture is becoming now, where it's just like, no, you know what? We got this mm-hmm. because we all have a different story. We're all different, and we all represent a different woman, different stories that mm-hmm. need to be heard. And I think that's been one of the hardest things as a woman in Mexican music. But I think that slowly, mm-hmm. I mean, what was 10 years ago is not what it's now. So I think it's just so exciting, and it is so amazing to see that not only are women uniting mm-hmm. and like for real, not just for like, you know, show, but that those spaces are being open. And I see a lot of the new younger girls, they're just doing themselves. They're just like, bye, I'm doing me. I'm gonna do what I want. And this is what it is. So I think that is amazing mm-hmm. that things have been able to change. And I think in some ways, we kind of had to suffer that, go mm-hmm. through that. But it's so awesome to be able to see it, and to see that, like you said, these new generations, they don't let people put them in a box.
Nope.
One day they're singing Cierreño, the next day they're doing Corridos Tumbados, and the next day they're doing an R&B song, and then the next track is a trap song. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something I tried to do maybe like 7 years ago.
Ahead of your time.
Thank you. And people were like, you can't do that. Like, what are you doing? It's just not going to work. But for me, as an artist, I had to do it mm-hmm. because that's what I feel like doing. And I feel like as an artist, no one can tell you what to do. Because it's your vision. Mm-hmm. And you have to stay true to yourself and do it. And do it the way that the girls are doing it now, saying, I'm doing it my way.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. 100%. And you mentioned the queen, Jenny Rivera. And yeah. I think it's just such a full circle moment for you, the fact that you grew up listening to her. In a lot of ways, she was the leading woman in regional Mexican 100%, music, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you grew up listening to her, and then one random day, your song's on the radio and she tweets at you.
No, can you believe that? I had just come to LA. That was my first song I ever recorded.
But even crazier, a week later, you meet her.
I know.
What did that whole experience with Jenny mean to you?
It was amazing. Honestly, I wish that at that time, which was probably like 12, 13 years ago, phones were the way that they're now. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the iPhones that we have now. Because I wish I could have it documented. It was one of those things that my phone literally died. I had an Android. It almost looked like a sidekick. You know what
the one
I'm
saying? Yes.
Yeah. People used to be like,
we're
is
aging
it a
ourselves.
I'm like, no, it's an Android. But literally, I tried to take a picture with her and the phone died.
Oh, it's worse.
And I think it actually died for good. Like, it was time for me to get an iPhone.
My friend.
But it was just incredible. I mean, she was doing things that no one had done. Mm. She was telling all these guys that I'm doing it. I'm not taking any shit from you. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was like at her prime, she was the biggest star. She was a woman. She was such a badass. She had tweeted about me where I'm like, wait, what? Like
Jenny randomly.
Rivera? Yeah. Like Jenny Rivera knows who I am. And then meeting her like after in some award shows backstage mm-hmm. was just incredible. I wish I would have had, you know, not only it documented, but more time to be able to, you mm-hmm. know, talk to her and see, hear all those. What is the word I'm looking for? Like jewels.
Yeah.
That she could have given to a young girl like me at the time. Mm-hmm. But I think that she left us a lot to learn from and mm-hmm. a lot of amazing, timeless, you know.
She paved the path for, I think, so many different women in this industry.
100%, yeah.
I just wanted to know, I mean, you mentioned that you had a little bit of time with her. Was there any lessons that you may have learned from her that you still carry with you to this day?
I would say the biggest lesson for me is to see like what her life was like, you know, mm-hmm. that she went through so much and she used all of that to build herself up and to put it in her music and to inspire a whole generation and mm-hmm. generations to come by truly being herself and mm-hmm. not putting up with anything, you know?
Yeah. That's important. Another incredible thing that happened in your career that I personally, I've met him on so many different occasions and every time that I've met him, just super special interaction with him. But I want to speak about how Pepe Garza changed your life.
Yes.
Because
if
people don't know, Pepe is one of the leading men in, I think, just like Latin music in general.
Yeah.
He's discovered so many different artists and has given so many different people,
including Jenny.
But there's so many different people that he's brought up and given an opportunity. So for you to be in the same sentence with all of those artists that he's, you know, discovered and brought up with him, how does that also feel for you?
It's very, very humbling. I'm very grateful for, because he did change my life. You know, he was a person that was like, hey, I heard that one song. I had one song mm-hmm. recorded. I heard your song, Ahora Soy Mala, and I think that you got something and everyone mm-hmm. deserves a chance. So I'm playing on the radio and we'll see what happens. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that the song kind of took off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, like we mentioned, there was only one female voice on the radio and that was Jenny Rivera. I mean, this is like 2011.
Yeah.
And then it was me.
I mean, that's the thing, though. I don't think people will realize how male dominated it really was.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I think Jenny was like
the only one.
Woman that was like, I mean, she was even going beyond a lot of the male artists.
For sure. She was like number one at the mm-hmm. time, but she really was like the only female in the scene that was really doing it. I mean, if you turned on the radio, you'd hear just old guys and then you would hear Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no other female voices. So for me to be like, oh my gosh, like my songs on the radio, you know, was just incredible. And I think that was life changing. I really think that started my career. I mean, not a lot of people can say that with one song, you know, they started mm-hmm. like a career. So a lot of people record so many songs and nothing happens. For me, it was just that one song. And I do always, I always mention it to Mr. Pepe Garza, who is incredible at, you know, creative, songwriter, producer. So yeah, and that's how Jenny heard my song, because she probably was like, hey, who's this other girl? And people were starting to call the radio station and say, hey, play me that song of La Mala. And that's how I ended up changing my name to Victoria La Mala, because people started calling me Mala because of my song, because no one knew who I was.
Yeah.
And the only other person was Jenny. So they were like, hey, es otra muchacha, la de La Mala, ponme. So I changed my name. I was like, wait.
And
no one knows Victoria Ortiz, but people know like Mala, so let's just do it.
And you know, another thing that I kind of wanted to mention, so I think all of the years that you had, you know, moving to New York, going back to Mexico, and then, you know, meeting Pepe, meeting Jenny, all of those things played a crucial role in your origin story and in I think your journey. I wanted to know, though, in your opinion, what was the most defining moment of your whole career thus far?
I don't know. I would say it's been a few moments. I would say that moment of Pepe Garza giving me that opportunity mm-hmm. was for sure one of the defining moments, because that's where La Mala came from. Mm-hmm. You know, I would also say another one of the moments that have been really defining for me was when I got my first recording contract and I was signed by Romeo Santos and Jay-Z's label, Roc Nation.
Wow.
I mean, that was like incredible. Like to this day, I'm like, wait, wow. Mm-hmm. That's something that if someone would have told me when I first recorded that song, I would have been like, that's never gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because I would always mention Romeo as one of the artists I looked up to, because he did so much for bachata, you know, and mm-hmm. for Dominican music. So 2 years later, have him give me my first recording contract was just insane.
Wow.
And then there's just been so many moments, me meeting like some other people that have inspired me so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, like meeting Olga Tañón, who Ahora Soy Mala, my first song ever, was actually a cover in banda from a song that was made by Olga Tañón in merengue.
Wow.
And I had asked so many people to give me a song. At the time, I didn't know I could write songs. And no one gave me a song because everyone was like, girl, who are you? And so I was like, okay, I need to figure it out because I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So since I was living in New York and, you know, salsa and bachata and merengue and all that Caribbean music is really big out there, I thought maybe that's what I should look into the songs of the strong females of the Caribbean, like Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic. And I went on YouTube and I found Olga's song, Ahora Soy Mala, and I knew it. I knew it. As soon as I heard it, I was like, this is a song. And it's funny because at that time also, this is 2011, I mean like 13 years ago.
Crazy.
No one was doing covers like that.
No.
So people thought it was a new song, but no, it was Olga. And then years later, right after I signed with Roc Nation, I'm running early to an interview. Como dicen, el que madruga Dios lo ayuda. I got there maybe like 30 minutes early and I see that they're filming someone else. And the person that they're filming interviewing is Olga Tañón. And I'm pretty shameless.
That's God right there.
So I went up to her. I was like, Olga, you don't know me, but I owe you like so much. And I told her the story and she was like, oh my God, yeah. We sang the song together.
Wow.
And then, I always tell her she's my madrina. She just laughs.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then, you know, we built that relationship. And later on, which was another incredible moment, she invited me to perform with her on stage for Premio Lo Nuestro for her tribute. So I would say that's another moment where I was like, okay, God.
Full circle.
Yes. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, dude, literally like.
I mean, let's talk about that moment real quick. I mean, it seems like you have always been a very confident person in yourself.
Yes. I mean, of course, you know, some days there's doubt. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm an artist, so that's just how we are. But I feel like you have to be confident.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to be confident, because if you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? And who's going to be there for you? And even when no one is there for you, like, you have to show up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, and I do think also my faith has helped me with that confidence, because I believe, like, okay, if God has a plan, he will make it happen.
Amen.
And that is something else that I've learned in the past few years. I used to always just believe that you have to work so hard to make it happen. But now I've also been learning that sometimes when God wants to make it happen, even if you're sitting at home, mm-hmm. it will happen.
I'll be so honest with you, Victoria. A lot of my career, like, people will ask me, oh, how did you do this? How did you do this? Like,
you're like, it came to me. God was like,
This past September, Mark Anthony, right? Like, nice. I nominated him for his star. But, like, the reason that I got to know Mark was because my mom would be in the house, like, cleaning. And what be listening to?
Yeah.
Mark. So when I first started working, I mean, I started making money. The first concert that I bought tickets for was Mark.
Wow.
Surprised my mom with the tickets. Hey, mom, like, let's go. Went all the way to, like, Anaheim, whatever. We did the show. A year later, I mean, I'm in touch with his team and I'm like, oh, like, I would love to kind of, like, surprise my mom. They invited us to the show, but then I told him there at that show, I was like, I'm going to nominate you for your star.
Wow.
Fast forward, like, a year later, my mom is meeting him.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, your story about Olga, it's a very similar story to how I met Mark and how full circle that was.
And he got his star, right?
He got his star.
Yes. I saw a picture of you there. That's amazing.
It's special. I think those moments, but I mean, there's nothing else that I could really say other than, I mean, that's God.
And like, I think that when you have faith and as you get older, you realize, okay, yes, I do have to put in the work and do my part. But at the end of the day, God can change anything in a second if it's his will and if it's his way. So that gives me confidence too. I feel like, you know, there's been moments where I've been like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I can continue doing this. It's so hard.
Yeah.
And then something happens where I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. But literally it would be like the next day or the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, God wants me to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's important to have faith and to have confidence in yourself. Because mm-hmm. I think if you don't have confidence in yourself, you can't achieve anything, like, in life. Mm-hmm. If you give up on yourself, no one's going to help you move forward.
Yeah. Early on in your career, you opened up for artists like Nina Sky and NORE.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know, what were those early experiences like for you?
Oh my gosh. That's when I first moved to New York and I was so nervous because I only performances that I had ever done before were like parties with family or family friends. And then a couple of performances in like high school and that was it.
Wow. So did you have the confidence to like hop on that stage for the first time, or were you kind of like nervous?
I was so nervous, but in my mind, I was like, okay, you gotta do this. Like, this is why you left Mexico.
Yeah.
This is why you left your house. And this is why you gotta, what you wanna do, you gotta like, girl, get it together and push through. I think also when I'm about to go on stage, my mindset just, and I feel like it's always been like that since I did those performances in high school. It's almost like, I call it the superhero version of myself.
Okay.
Like, turns on and I'm just kind of like, I gotta do this.
All right.
And I do still feel the nerves, but I do feel like before the performances, I have to get in a specific mindset.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about that. What's the biggest difference between Victoria the artist and Victoria the mother and Victoria the wife?
Okay, I feel like as a mother and a wife, I have this side of me that's way more sweet and nurturing as a friend too. I feel like as an artist, up to this day, I've showed more of that strong, badass, confident, fierce side of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working on new music, and I feel like maybe because I had a little bit of a break between my last work and the stuff that I'm going to be putting out recently, I am able to show more of that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm so afraid to be more like vulnerable, to show different parts of my story, different sides of me. And I think that it even shows more on my social media. I think mm-hmm. I've learned to be a little bit of my softer era.
You know?
I feel like 3 years ago, I was just still on this like badass, like I'm doing it and no one can tell me. Yeah. Now I'm kind of like.
No, and you know what? It's crazy about that. I've wanted to talk to you for years, but I think up until you had your son and you just started uploading like more content with your son, I was like, no, like I just want to have a conversation with that person.
Thank you.
And I think it really does show. And I think it's like, it's a beautiful thing, that evolution.
Thank you. A lot of people have told me, oh my God, you just look so happy and you just like glowing. And I feel like the people that have really known me mm-hmm. have seen that side of me. But I think that because there was so much that I had to go against and mm-hmm. fight, and I was showing that in my music, that side of me that was just like, no, I'm confident and I'm doing it and I don't care and I'm a badass. And mm-hmm. I feel like now I'm more like, literally, like I said, in my soft girl era, I feel more like I don't have anything to prove to anybody. Yes, I'm a badass and I'm gonna turn it on when I want to, but I feel like I'm just in a peaceful place where I'm just like, so certain things I'm literally like, girl, bye, like, I don't even care. You know, where some of those things before I would have been like, oh my God, like how did, now I'm just like, bye. Mm-hmm. So wow. I think that maybe taking that little break really, really helped me. I think that I was just in such a mental and physical, just exhausted from years of like touring and working. Yeah. And I had this whole mentality of like work, no days off, no rest. I feel like, yes, it's important mm-hmm. now that I have my son and that I've taken this little bit of a break. It is important, but no, you have to be able to feed your soul, feed your spirit, take care of your body.
Yeah.
Like that whole mentality of like, go, and no days off. I don't think it's sustainable. Mm-hmm. I think that it brings just mental health problems. So I think that now, because that's out of my life, and like I said, I feel like I have nothing to prove to anyone mm-hmm. anymore. I've kind of like, I'm like, look, I've done my thing. You don't think so? It's fine. You think so? Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, no.
But I feel like I'm just in a peaceful place, and my son has taught me that priorities. You know. Mm-hmm.
And we talk about you being, obviously, look, everybody has a story, and everybody has had things that they've gone through that have led them here. But I think the life of an artist is just one that is just really different compared to normal people, right? Because I think the fact of the matter, one, you're dealing with so many different people behind the scenes, industry people, and that's, you know, how
that's already
that
is. A lot.
That's how, yeah. But then on top of that, you're also under a microscope because there are people that, I mean, are free to comment on your life and what you're doing, and they're able to say what they want without any repercussions.
Without even showing their public profile or their face, whatever.
And again, it's one of those things that is so accepted in our time, but it's also one of those things that if you really take the time to think about it,
it's so wrong.
It is so wrong and it's so odd.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know for you, when people would kind of like start talking about you and giving their opinions about what you're doing, did it affect you early on, or did you kind of like have to shut that down immediately?
I feel like it used to affect me. I would say it wouldn't, but I would be like, oh my gosh, like these people think this about me. They're writing this about me. They're saying that. I feel like now, I mean, I'm human. Of course, mm-hmm. sometimes I see some comments. Like you saw my face and I'm like, hey, let me grab my phone and I'll go back.
Fight with
like,
them.
Hey, how dare you? People talking about, in their bio, like, God, and I'm like, no, you don't have God in your life because you wouldn't be talking to people that mm-hmm. way. No, and I respond like that.
Yeah.
But I feel like now I'm more kind of like, look, when you're a truly happy person, you don't say things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of more like, dude, you're just miserable and
figure your thing out.
Yeah, because if you were happy and doing your thing, you wouldn't care. You mm-hmm. would keep scrolling.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna lie. Now it doesn't affect me. As like, I wouldn't say as much, but now I fight more. That's the funny part.
Hey, you have
now
to
I respond
sometimes.
More. Before I would be just quiet, but it really would affect me. But I think it was also partly because I was just so concerned about people's opinions and what are people going to think about me. And now I have that peace mm-hmm. and that, I guess, like real true confidence of mm-hmm. who I am.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, girl, whatever, boy,
and
bye.
Let me ask that. Look, confidence is that thing where it's kind of like it's wavering. You'll have confidence today. You might not have yeah. the same confidence tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But when did you kind of feel that you had the confidence enough in yourself to kind of say, you know what, like, fuck what they have to say?
I would actually say after I became a mom.
Wow.
I think that a couple of years prior of me becoming a mom, I had been working so much. I was so physically and mentally exhausted, going on tours where I would sleep like 2-3 hours, travel, go do the same thing. And then some of the people I was working with were just not good for my mental health. They wouldn't encourage or say things in a way where they would help me grow. Mm-hmm. It was in a way where it just affected me and it just made me feel like, oh my God, like, it's just, you're never good enough. And I think that taking a break, having my son, which by the way, I was so afraid of like stopping work mm-hmm. because I was just so used to go, almost like unconscious survival mode, just to be able to like keep going and keep doing my thing and keep staying and like in this, I don't know how to say it, in this bubble, so I wouldn't like break down because it was mm-hmm. so much pressure and so much happening. I was so afraid, but I had my son and I had to slow down. And I feel like that's when, even though I went through a lot too, because it was such a change, I feel like that just really made me feel like, you know what?
Say it.
I really was like, fuck all these people that have made me feel this way. Mm-hmm. I don't have to live this way. Mm-hmm. I'm about to cry. Soy una llorona. But I started this journey because I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I think it got to a point where I didn't love it anymore, even though I loved it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think taking that break made me realize, like, no, I have to do it because I love it. Mm-hmm. Not to prove anything to anyone, not to kill myself doing it. So I'm just going to trust. I'm not even going to do too much about it. I'm just going to trust that if this is what God still wants for me, mm-hmm. He's going to show me. And if not, I've done a lot of the things beyond what I dreamed as a kid. And I think the fact that I had broken some of those relationships with the people that I was working with that were not good for my mental health, people that I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to use the word exploit to, because I don't know if that's the word, but people that are supposed to be there on your side and on your corner that instead just literally like make you feel the worst, mm-hmm. not to make you the better version of yourself, like just make you feel terrible. Don't do anything for your mental health or help your career, because mm-hmm. if you're not mentally stable,
yeah,
or mentally in a good place, like what's it gonna be, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that me finishing that part, getting rid of those toxic people, mm-hmm. work-wise, environment, taking a break, just kind of nourish my body, mm-hmm. my mind, it just kind of changed everything for me. And it just made yeah. me go back to that place where, okay, I'm just going to do this, not because I have to, but because mm-hmm. I love it, because it's my passion since I've been a kid.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to stop that whole hustle every day, no mm-hmm. days off, don't work, like don't rest mentality, because it's just not good. I think that we need to take time to heal, to think about what we want, what we don't want, mm-hmm. to surround ourselves with people that, yes, they're going to tell you the truth. Because me, I always tell my friends and everyone around me, you better tell me the truth, because yeah. if not, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. But people that do it, yeah, literally, I'm like, girl, you let me look like this crazy? Like, you didn't tell me anything? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
But yeah, I think that we need to have more of a culture and a mentality of that versus go mm-hmm. and do it. And it's not good. So I think that helped me all just have peace mm-hmm. and really be able to say, you know, I'm doing this because I love it and my way. And it's just a good place. I'm able to show more of who I truly am, you know, because mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have to prove anything.
I mean, I first wanted to just say thank you for your vulnerability. And
I'm such a crier. I'm not mala, but I'm like the big.
No, but I mean,
told someone, people say Carol G cries a lot. Girl, te estoy haciendo la competencia because I think I'm a bigger crier than her.
Yeah.
I love Carol G.
No, but I mean, to be honest with you, there's a lot of people that, I mean, if they were in your position, a lot of the time they don't want to show this side of them and they don't want to show the realities of what you're going through. And I think it's just such a refreshing and it's a needed thing. And I wanted to say, I don't know if people have given you your flowers yet, but it's important that I give you your flowers because I think the path that you've carved for yourself is so awesome.
Thank you.
And I think also the fact of the matter, like I mentioned earlier, the same way you were watching Selena, there are little girls that are watching you in that same way. But also on top of that, your son.
Yes.
I think it's so important, like the fact that you've remained so authentic to yourself throughout your whole career and the different shit that people will throw at you, the fact that that didn't sour you or that didn't change you, I think speaks volumes about you.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah. But I think it's so important to talk about these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people think, oh my God, when they see artists or celebrities, oh my God, their life is just perfect. And I think that's another thing that we need to, I mean, I grew up with everyone around you telling you, no, like you can't show, you can't say this. And I feel like that's just another thing that we need to get rid of. Like we need to just try to be vulnerable and show reality so that other people don't feel like, oh my God, everyone's life is perfect except for mine. You know, I think it's important to show vulnerability because someone out there is going to be like, oh my God, I feel that way. And it makes me feel like I'm not alone, you know? And some other people that want to start journeys like mine can say, okay, it's going to be hard, but I might cry like her, but I'm going to be able to do it.
Yeah. No. And for you, why has it been so important for you to remain so authentic to yourself?
I think that when you allow the world to change you, it's kind of like those people won, you know? I feel like you need to remain your essence and your true self in order for you to truly be happy. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, you know, you will change, you will grow. There's things like me now that used to matter that now I'm like, who cares, bye. But your essence, you know, if you let others change it, you're the only one that's going to suffer. Because I always say at the end of the day, when everyone goes to bed, they don't care about you. The good or the bad that they did to you, they don't care. So you're the one that has to live with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just feel like you have to really stay true to who you are to be happy and to be able to evolve and grow.
I think you're such a strong woman. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm like speechless. Like, and that, I mean, it really doesn't happen a lot. So I think it's such
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, but it speaks volumes about you. But I kind of wanted to transition.
Yeah.
There was a very,
I should have brought like a tissue box, like my makeup, like girl, I'm about to look probably crying. Like, you know how Kim Kardashian does ugly cry. I know that's me too, but
I mean, we could make a meme.
Like my vein here goes up. Like, let me just make sure. Okay.
No, but you made a very big announcement today.
Yes, I did.
And I think that's so special. You just signed with Warner Music.
Yes, I am working now with ADA Warner, and I'm very excited because this is a new beginning for me. I haven't put out music in 2 years. The music that I am working on, I feel like it's a bit different from the music I've done before in the sense where the vibe is different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's regional, but it's just, it. I almost feel like it shows the different new me, you know? It's more fun, more vulnerable. And I was going to just put all this out like on my own. Mm-hmm. And then I have this mentor. She gave me my first contract ever I signed in music was for publishing with Delia Orjuela. And she is right now the head of Regional Mexican, the GM for Regional Mexican for Warner Music. And I was just catching up with her, you know, about my mom life, my family life. We've been friends, and she's been a mentor of mine for over 10 years. And she's like, "So have you been working on something?" I was like, "Yeah." And so I started playing her some tracks. And she was like, "And who are you putting out this with?" And I told her, "Well, I just finished my other contract, and I'm ready to do my own thing." And she was like, no. So we set up some meetings. I listened to the song, to one of the songs. My first song that I'm coming out with is called Beliconas. And the reason it's called Beliconas is because I was talking to the producer. He's like, "What are you listening to now?" And I'm like, "Dude, I don't know what happened to me when I became a mom, but I'm like more gangster than ever." He's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Dude, all I want to listen to is corridos. Like, I'm in my car, yes, mm-hmm. driving through the suburbs with my, like..." Hey. I make fun of myself with like my iced coffee and my baby in the back, but singing everywhere to the corridos. Mm-hmm. So he was like, "Oh no, so you gotta bring that vibe." So we worked on that. And then when I played them the song, they were like, "Oh no, we gotta talk some business."
Wow.
So we talked about it, and you know, it was a few months in the making, but we finally, you know, are working together, and now the song's coming out May 17th. So
congratulations.
I'm so excited. Thank you. And I have another big announcement soon, but I don't know when.
Are we going to drop it here?
No, yeah.
Can we or what? Come on, let's get it cleared.
I've been saying to people like my social media for like a week or 10 days, "Hey, a big announcement's coming."
I think she should make the announcement right now. Yeah. I think she should. Everybody
Okay, well, here. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit, but... So I'm going to be on a tour, on a big tour, but I can't say which one yet.
No yes. way. Yeah.
So this summer I am going, we have a few dates
already. That's huge.
And I'm so excited because this is another thing that the people that are working on the tour are like, "Hey, do you want to come on this tour?
Victoria, that's
And you're
going to
be like the only girl." And I'm like, "Wait, what?" Wow. So it's a tour that honestly, I was excited to go see the show here in LA, and now I'm going to be performing in it. So I can't say which one it is yet, just because they haven't made like the official announcement, but it's I'm excited. I feel like what I was telling you, you know, a lot of these things have happened because it's just the way it's supposed to
God's
be. And
plan.
God has a plan, and it's crazy because after 2 years, everything has just been aligning up time wise, mm-hmm. like it was planned, but I'm like, us.
You know why I think so, though? I think also it's kind of like working out that way because now at this point in your life, I think more than ever before, you're staying true to your purpose.
Yes.
And that's so important. So,
and I think that sometimes God wants you to go through certain things mm-hmm. to build character, mm-hmm. to learn.
Yep.
So that...
Everything's for a reason. Everything that you've been through, yes. even if you don't realize it in the moment, but you look back, yeah. everything that you've been through has been for a reason. So literally every day I'm like, "Thank you, God, for everything that I've been through."
Everything, because it shapes you to become who you are. And I read something once that said, "I don't lose. I either win or I learn."
Yeah.
And learning is priceless.
Yeah. It's a very similar one to that saying where it's kind of like you could either see life as it happening for you or to you.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. Because there are some people that live life and they're like, "Damn, like, I can't believe this happened to me," or "Why did this happen?" Yeah. But you can sometimes switch the perspective and see it from, "Oh, well, thank you, God, for letting me go through that."
Exactly. For whatever reason, you made me go through this. Mm-hmm. It's for, and I do think I went through all of that to build character and to realize that some of the things I thought were so important in my life mm-hmm. were things yeah. that are
irrelevant.
That's the word. Yes. Irrelevant.
Like, doesn't even matter.
Yes. So yeah, I'm excited. But I haven't even told people. This is literally the first time I even said, okay, I'm going on a tour.
There you go. We got an exclusive.
I can't say the name yet, but you got the exclusive. Yeah. Hey, no. Hopefully in the next few days we'll drop the announcement.
Are you ready?
You know, when it comes to performances, I feel like I'm always ready. That is what I love to do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even when there's not a lot of time to prepare and things are kind of like, oh my gosh, once I get on the stage, I got it.
Easy.
Because I love it. Mm-hmm. And I think what I love about it so much is connecting with the people live and having fun. I love just to have fun on stage. So yeah, I'm ready.
I'm excited for you. That's huge. I'm excited. Yeah. I got to be there at the LA show.
Yes, you have to.
Yeah.
You have
to. Victoria, I mean, you and I could sit here for another 3 hours and probably just talk about everything, but I'm so thankful for your time and for your vulnerability. And I really think that this conversation...
I feel like my veins are still out from all the crying. Like, I can feel it.
Honestly, I love it. It's authentic. But the truth is, this conversation will truly help people. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you and your time.
Thank you for having me. I mean, it means a lot that you guys would think of me to be a guest.
My pleasure. My pleasure. So, Victoria, where can people find you?
You guys can find me all over social media as Victoria La Mala. I am on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, everywhere as Victoria La Mala. So you can just, wherever you want to find me, just put Victoria La Mala and I'll be there.
I'm so excited. What she has coming up is freaking huge. So just keep tabs on her because I'm telling you.
May 17, my song Beliconas is finally coming out. It's been a long time coming. I've been previewing it on a couple of shows I've done, and people have been super excited about it. I've been previewing it a little bit on social media, and people are excited about it. So the pre-save is going to be out. It's out now.
Pre-save.
Yes, pre-save.
We'll put the link in the bio.
Yes, and I'm actually going to be giving tickets to the people that, I haven't even announced this, but let's just, tickets to this tour that will be announced. I'm going to be giving tickets to the people that show me that they pre-save the link. So go pre-save it, send me a screenshot on DM and enter the giveaway for some tickets for the tour.
Come on. Easy
as
that. The
tour is not just me, okay, guys? It's amazing, amazing artists like that I'm a fan of.
I mean, think about it. She even said that she was thinking about going to these concerts before she was even involved in this.
Yes, I was going to go as like a fan.
So think about that. I think that's also very full circle in that respect.
Yes.
But my name is Andro Mamo. Thank you for listening and watching another episode of One on One. This episode has truly been special.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria, for your
time. Thank you so much for having me. And hopefully this won't be the last.
Hey, no, we'll definitely catch up one of these days. I'm Andro Mamo. I will see you next week.